Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuckery Show. Heading to the final hour of the program. It is the Brown Liquor Music Hour, man. A little joy and pain from Maze for you. Streaming online at 929thegame.com. Catch us live. Replays of the shows. Breaking sports news. Final sports moments. 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, whatever device you carry around with you. That way you can always catch us on the go. Cool new feature about you can play back any audio from the previous 24 hours on the new and improved radio.com app. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Be a part of all of it there. Best way to follow this particular show, follow us through our Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. 10 o'clock, Brown Liquor Music Hour. It's also now time for our NFL Squib Kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the Squib Kick with John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, first off, we lost a Hall of Famer today as Willie Brown, Hall of Fame cornerback for the Oakland Raiders, died. Brown had been one of the closest confidants of late Oakland Raiders owner Al Davis, as well as a trusted advisor to Mark Davis. He, writing of Brown in a text, Mark Davis did, was a Raider. Undrafted out of Grambling State in 1963, signed with the Oilers before being cut. Then he signed with the Broncos, came to the Raiders in a trade in 67, and was with them on some of their glory days, some of their glory NFL teams. Brown had 15 interceptions in 4 seasons with the Broncos and 12 seasons with the Raiders. He added 39 more. Was tied for the most with Lester Hayes, who would refer to Brown as his personal Yoda out there. And I think he's the guy, if I remember right, isn't he the guy that had the interception against the Vikings in the Super Bowl? That Super Bowl team, that 76 Super Bowl team that ran it back for the touchdown against him in the John Madden Super Bowl team. I think I'm right about that. I think it was the guy who had that play. But Hall of Famer nonetheless, one of the great cornerbacks of all time. And Brown said in 2013, I don't know anything about backpedaling and running with the receivers, but if I got my hands on them, the receiver can't get open. So he's a master at the bump and run coverage, which it sounds weird to say that now, but back then those were new things about how you played defense in the NFL. So we know that the Patriots traded for Mohamed Sanu, of course, the second round draft pick that the Falcons got back in return. Well, speaking of former Atlanta Falcons, the Patriots have also signed former Falcon, Cardinal, and Raven cornerback Justin Bethel. He had a visit on Tuesday. He was released by the Ravens yesterday. Said the team said the reason for Bethel's release was ensured the team received a 4th-round compensatory draft choice next spring. Ravens coach John Harbaugh said at the time of release that he believes Bethel is the best special teams player in the league. He's been named to 2 All-Pro teams and 3 Pro Bowl teams for his work in that area and will work in that capacity for the Patriots. Did he make a Pro Bowl here with the Falcons? No. Why is it every special teams guy that comes to the Falcons comes in with this great reputation? They do great before they get here, come to the Falcons, do nothing, leave, and go to the Pro Bowl again. Who was it, Andre Brown? Andre Roberts, the returner. Pro Bowler, nothing here, went to the Jets, Pro Bowl again. Your winning formula is get away from the Falcons. Oh, Lord. Oh, boy. I tell you. It's such a shame. It is so crazy sometimes the things that go on out there. All right. Buccaneers coming back from their bye week this week, and Bruce Arians says he's still trying to fix and hopes that he can fix Jameis Winston. And Arians thinks it should be easy. Quote, "It's knowing why the ball is coming out of your hand and knowing when to get rid of it. You know, we had a screen pass to Ronald Jones that broke down, throw it away, all right? We end up getting a fumble. We didn't lose that fumble. The next one, he's thinking, I have to make a play. Those situations, we have to get rid of the bad decisions of when I have to make a play and you hold on too long to get a sack or a fumble. Just get rid of those plays. We're going to be all right." Now, listen, with all due respect, if it were that easy, he'd already be fixed out there. How interesting is it going to be that the first two guys drafted in that, what was that, the 2015 draft for those two guys? Whatever draft that was with Winston and Mariota in it, and the debate about those two guys and who would be number one and who should be number one and who's going to be better and all that kind of stuff. Now both of those guys are going to be fighting, scratching, clawing. We talked about 44. Who's taking on Jameis Winston? Because you're going to have to pay quarterback money. Now listen, every bum quarterback in the league gets a second gig. Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Every guy, right? Every guy, every one of those guys that doesn't do anything drafted high as a starter all get like second chances out of all of it. I mean, Winston will go somewhere. Is he starting in the NFL next year? Is he a starter? Is Marcus Mariota a starter? I mean, those two guys would be really high-priced backups in this league, wouldn't they? Like, are you willing to have those guys be high-dollar backup quarterbacks? Or somebody willing to roll the dice and say, okay, because all the bad teams are going to draft quarterback, right? So, like, Miami's not bringing on Jameis Winston. They're trying to get Tua, right? Or whoever. Justin Herbert or Jake Fromm or whoever it is that they like. But they're trying to get one of those guys, right? I don't even know where those guys would start in the league. The Jets have a young quarterback. The Redskins have a young quarterback, right? The Giants have a young quarterback. Like, if anything, Jarvis, the two teams they play for are the teams that need quarterbacks the most, right? I don't know. It'll be fascinating to see where those two guys end up after, you know, they played one another in college. I think that was one of only, either three or four times in history that two Heisman Trophy winners faced off in college. There weren't very many times. There's only like three or four times in the history of college football that two Heisman Trophy. Remember, they played a national semifinal game. Jameis and Marcus Mariota, where Oregon blew out Florida State. That was the year after the title for Florida. The Florida State won the national title, and then the year afterward is when they played one another. So we'll see where those guys end up, but I don't know. I'm not sure that there's a lot of fixing of Jameis Winston at this point. By the way, don't look now. The Nationals have just taken the lead on the Astros 4-2. Can you believe if the Nationals win the World Series? Wow. All right, ESPN has got their NFL power rankings. Let's look at the very top of the list, see if the Falcons are anywhere up there. New England 1, Saints 2, 49ers 3, Packers 4, Chiefs 5. Nope, don't see the Falcons anywhere on there. Maybe if we move more toward the bottom of the list, the Buccaneers at 2-4 are 26th. The Giants are 27th at 2-5. Then you go number 28 is the Jets at 1-5. Then you go number 29, and it's the Atlanta Falcons. Recalibrated expectation that they have for the Falcons. Get a top five draft pick. With one win in seven games this season, this season has gotten away from the Falcons with little hope for a turnaround. So a top five pick in next year's draft looks more realistic, and they need to use that pick to draft an impact pass rusher. Is that Chase Young out of Ohio State? Is that the guy, Jarvis? Without looking at any early tape or any sort of thing like that? You know? Oh, okay. You like the, yeah, that kid from South Carolina has been a beast too. Yeah. Yep. And he did. He took it to Georgia. He took it to Georgia. I know Chase Young is the hot name for everything. He's been just absolutely dominant. There'll be somebody that sneaks up on everybody. Do we all agree, like, there literally should not be any decision about who the Falcons should draft as far as what position? Like, they have to get an impact pass rusher. And people can make fun of the 49ers and all that. John Lynch has done a magnificent job of putting that team together. And people can like Nick Bosa and his politics and all that kind of stuff, or not like him and hate him. You know what he is, though? He's a great pass. You know, him and his brother, man. Him and his brother are two studs. And listen, I was a guy that talked, a lot of people talked about, a lot of people thought that Nick Bosa would be a better pro than he was even in college. He was a great college player, but when he got hurt and decided to sit out, just kind of felt like he'd be a better pro than he was a college player. Because if he really wanted to, he could have been the best defensive player in college football. But injury sidetracked it, and there's no reason to come back. So laugh if you will. I know a lot of people laughed at John Lynch getting hired. Is he not the GM of the year in the NFL right now? Like he's the, I don't know if they call it executive of the year or GM of the year or whatever it is, executive of the year. Is he not the executive of the year in the NFL? I mean, it's not, I mean, Garoppolo's not the MVP of the league right now. It's not like Garoppolo's been the MVP of the league. Tevin Coleman hasn't been the MVP of the league. He's just coming back. Their defensive line is as rough and rugged and mean and nasty as you can get. And when you build a great defensive line like that, that's what happens. Oh, and if you build a great offensive line. Falcons, after investing two first-round draft picks in their offensive line, they have to go get top-flight defensive line help. They can't mess around. I don't care who the GM, who the coach, who the owner, who the you tell me any and everybody, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. They have a massively glaring weakness at defensive line. They have nobody to go with the Grady Jarrett. Actually, who I'm starting to like is Alan Bailey. I'm not sure if I'm very high as much anymore on Tyler Davison. And I know I'm not high on either one of those first-round draft picks, the defensive end. Both of those guys, by the way. 44 and 98. You can have both those guys. Because right now, neither one of those guys getting anything done out there. So, defensive end is absolutely top-flight priority for this team. All right, when we get back, my Falcons thoughts, as Jarvis puts on here, are the Falcons in crisis? I got a lot of talking point notes that I got to get over all of this. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game. Love is somebody. Somebody loves you back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm back in the Kia. This good song. Commodores. The 80s right here. Yeah. Night Shift. Good stuff. This is post Lionel Richie. Hey, the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. Don't forget, it's tomorrow from 4 to 7. Stars and Strikes, Sandy Springs. Go to 929 The Game event page. 929thegame.com on our event page. Sign up, be a part of all of it. $1,000 to the first place team. Got celebrities, you know, you got ex-athletes, you got station personalities. Got a lot going on that's going to be a part of all of it. So, for a good cause, come and hang out with us. We'll be all out there having some fun with everything. I'll be there for about an hour, then got to hit the road and get down here and get prepped and get our show going out there. So, but lots of good stuff going to happen tomorrow. So come be a part of it. Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. Go to 929thegame.com, our event page. You can still sign up or come on down there and get signed up when you get down there. So should be a lot of fun. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers number text line to interact with the show. Follow us on Twitter. Station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. So a bunch of Falcons things to get into. I want to play the Dan Quinn clip from postgame. After all the hype and hoopla we heard about Dan taking over the defense and going to be hands-on, and all this kind of stuff. Here's Dan Quinn talking about the defensive coordinator play calling, even starting versus the Cardinals?
I'm always looking to see during the game, you know, who can help on the play calling and inside of that. And we've actually distributed that some Arizona and this week as well. So I'm always looking to do what's best for the team in every situation at every time. So we've already begun some of that. You know, how can I apply myself in other ways? And we've certainly done that too.
I don't even know what that means, though. Is there down in distances? Is it flip a coin? Rock, paper, scissors? I'll call it. No, you call it. No, I'll call it. No, you call it. No, you call it. No, I'll call it. Duck season, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season, rabbit season, duck season, rabbit season. Now, we said here on the show, get me another set of eyes to look at the defense and help out. Here's the other fantasy, too, can we put to bed? And I've talked about this. Everybody can miss me with the Seattle Seahawks and that being Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn's defense. And I've said this for years. Neither one of those guys built that defense. That was Pete Carroll. It's always been Pete Carroll. Always be Pete Carroll. But whatever coordinator out there, guys, that you want, same thing in New England. You can tell me about Romeo Crennel and Matt Patricia and all these ham and eggers that have been the DCs for the Patriots over the years. Okay? That defense is run by one guy. You know what Seattle's defense has always been? Run by one guy. That's Pete Carroll's defense, man. That's Pete Carroll who brought those guys in and plays that style. That's his defense. It always will be. It always was. It always is. Miss me with the Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn, and I've said this for years, and you guys love to argue about these things until they come true. You could tell me about philosophy and scheme and all that kind of stuff. That's Pete Carroll. And while Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley have struggled mightily, Pete Carroll just rolls right along. What's Seattle's record? Are they 5-2? They got blown out by Baltimore, right? They just went to Baltimore and got blown out. I think they're 5-2. Is that right? Hell, I could probably look real quick. They beat the Rams earlier this year. That was a Thursday night game, was it not? Seattle right now, because I know the 49ers haven't lost yet. Yeah, Seattle's 5-2. They're in second place. They would be the wild card team right now. I don't know if they'd host over Minnesota or not, but they'd be the wild card team right now. Now they're 2-0 in the division. Minnesota's 1-2, so I think they'd probably host the wild card right now. Miss me with the Gus Bradley, Dan Quinn stuff. You can miss me with all that. I told you then, I'll tell you now, that's always been Pete Carroll's defense. He's the alpha male that runs all that. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm out of ideas with that group. All the players, and I guess, what are we hearing now? Julio had a team meeting, said we're failing Dan Quinn. All right. What does that mean? That mean they're going to win Sunday? I'd say it this way, but does anybody feel good about the idea of them beating Seattle? Even playing at home? They're bound to beat a few teams here and there because they're just too talented. They're bound at some point they're going to beat a couple of good teams. Just because they're talented enough that it'll come together a couple of times a year and they'll figure it out. Really. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but I mean, that's about all you can count on. This ain't going to be a Indianapolis Colts, we're 1-5 and we're going to make the playoffs scenario. And the second half of that schedule, all the division games plus the 49ers and then the Jaguars, the division plus the Niners plus the Jaguars. Is what they got left after this Sunday. Ooh. It's not great. Now, Matt Ryan. Reports are a week, maybe 2 weeks. Still not sure about whether or not he's going to play this Sunday. Don't play Matt Ryan. Don't play him. No need to toss him out there and no need to even rush him back after the bye. Well, I understand that Dan Quinn wants to win football games because he feels like his job is on the line. That's not... saying anything, you know, that we don't already know. But with high ankle sprains, when you feel like you're ready to come back, wait another week. It's the same thing with hamstrings. Same thing with high ankle sprains. You have to stay off it. You have to rest. If you think you're ready to go, give it another week. Anybody remember John Abraham and when he tried to go with that high ankle sprain? How'd that work out for the Falcons at the end of the year? He ended up sitting out of the playoffs. Remember he was sitting on his helmet. Remember that the last week of the year after he tried to come back from the high ankle sprain? Sat on his helmet on the sideline. You could tell he was ticked off. Didn't Dunta Robinson in that game get knocked out too in that game or something like that? Wasn't that like against the Buccaneers or something like that in the final game of the year before they went into the playoffs? And Abraham ended up getting a high ankle sprain, re-aggravating it or something. And he had, like I said, I remember that image of him sitting on his helmet on the sidelines, being ticked off. With all due respect, you don't need Matt Ryan the rest of this year, but you damn sure need Matt Ryan for next year. And making sure that he's healthy more long-term than short-term is way more important. Falcons are not drafting some young guy to groom at quarterback. Have the 49ers drafted a young guy to groom? Because I'm looking up and I don't see the young quarterback that they drafted that's playing for the New Orleans Saints right now. How'd that work out with Brett Hundley in Green Bay as the young quarterback to groom? You realize that when Matt Ryan leaves, it ain't going to be it. You don't get like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers lucky twice in one lifetime. It's you go 5 years with a bunch of vagabonds and have. Remember some of those years of Doug Johnson and Kurt Kittner, Joey Harrington and Byron Leftwich? That's what you go through in the league. That's what you do. The Dolphins haven't found a quarterback since Dan Marino. Like, they haven't found a quarterback that's competent for more than about 1 year. Remember when Ryan Tannehill was all the rage and he had 30 touchdowns and all this kind of crazy stuff? And he wasn't any good then. But people tried to mislead. Oh, yeah, look, he's getting it all done. Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess. Now, we know the Falcons made a trade today, trading Mohamed Sanu. And the thing I couldn't agree with less is the take about how the Falcons are in rebuild mode. I would tell you that if the Falcons were 5-2 themselves right now, and they were able to get a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, you should trade Mohamed Sanu for a second-round pick. Mohamed Sanu is a guy who wasn't going to be here next year. I'm a little bit surprised in some ways that Mohamed Sanu was here this year. Texter says, have anything positive to say at all? What do you want me to say positive about the Atlanta Falcons right now? They've become the laughingstock of the NFL for a team that was Super Bowl or bust. I'm just curious, Mr. Texter, without giving out your number on air, what exactly am I supposed to say positive about the Falcons? What would you like me to say positive about them? What's the silver lining? It's dreadful that the NFL team that was Super Bowl or bust is sitting here at 1-6, and everything has gone wrong with it. What do you want me to say? Text in. You're so smart and you got such an answer. What do you want to say about it? You want me to lie? Oh, Dan's doing a great job. Yeah, this team can still turn it around. You want something positive? Falcons aren't in rebuild mode. If the Falcons were in rebuild mode, it wouldn't be 12 that was getting traded. If they were really in rebuild mode, you wouldn't have your quarterback or your wide receiver or somebody else. You wouldn't have the real assets of your football team. Mohamed Sanu was not going to be here next year. Could have not been on the roster this year because of salary cap. Not because he's not a good enough player, not because of this, that, and the other. Because of salary cap. We're having to sign all the guys that they have. To put as good a team as possible on the field, we're going to sign everybody and make them the highest paid guy at their position. I got no problem with that. They want to develop their young core. Debo, Grady, I get that. I understand that.
I've heard people say.
So listen, Mr. Texter, please feel free to give us something positive out of all of it. What do you want me to say? I'll pee on your leg and I'll tell you it's raining. How about that? Will that be positive for you? All right, when we get back, Brian McCann. Told you we're going to talk about this. How's Brian McCann going to be remembered in Atlanta? Is he the best catcher of all time here? Is he a Hall of Famer? We'll talk about that next. Chuck in the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Sports Radio, 929 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. This is Brown Liquor Music Hour on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Hot Take Tommy, he's coming up next. Texter made a good point, by the way, at 404-741-0929. Also follow us on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. I do agree with this, actually. Texter said that it's time to start grooming a quarterback for Matt Schaub. I agree. Would I be surprised if they lower round drafted? I'll tell you what I think they were hoping for. This is just me spitballing again. I think they were hoping that Kirk Benkert would get another year of experience, another year of coaching, and that next year he'd take over as the backup for Matt Ryan, that he would take over for Matt Schaub. Now, he still may when it's all said and done. He got injured this year and, of course, is on injury, you know, on IR this year. But I think that that's what they were hoping for as their backup quarterback for next year. Not this year, but next year. I think they were committed to one more year of Matt Schaub and then move on from there. Maybe Kurt Benkert will still be the backup next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go with a youthful backup, but not from a grooming him perspective to be the starter. Because Matt's not going anywhere. They didn't give Matt that kind of money and that kind of contract. And by the way, in the NFL, Matt's in his prime. Like, this is Matt Ryan's red-eye, bullseye, dead-red prime right now that he's in. He's not on the back end of it. In this league nowadays, quarterbacks can play for a long time out there. So, you know, that's going to be one of those positions. Like, Matt Schaub and his $5 million contract won't be here next year. Mohamed Sanu wasn't going to be here next year. I don't think Devontae Freeman's going to be here next year. I don't think he was going to be here next year anyway. I think when you start to look, again, I'm telling you, I'm putting it out there now. What do we say, Jarvis, 3 to 6 months in advance? If Dan Quinn's not the head coach, don't be surprised if they don't guarantee or don't decide to keep Ken O'Neill. I know they picked up his fifth-year option, but it's the same thing with Vic Beasley. Could have let him go in, what, February before the rosters became – his money would have been guaranteed. I wouldn't be surprised. And I know y'all love Ken O'Neill, but he's probably a more system-specific safety than what a lot of guys in this league run. You know why people call him Cam Chancellor or want him to be Cam Chancellor? Because that's the same system that gets run. Not many guys have that kind of system to run. It's not a knock against Ken O'Neill. It's just the reality of, are you going to have an $11 million stake? Because that's what he's going to be. It's just about $11 million next year. He's not getting, you know, ham and egger money, fish heads and rice money. He's getting fifth-year option, which is what? Top 10 average when you're a first-round pick or something like that? It's like $10 million or something like that. $10, $11 million. So it's a big chunk of money. The Falcons will have to decide if that's where it's best used. And again, especially if you have a new head coach coming in. Does he value what Ken O'Neill does the same way that Dan Quinn does? We shall see. All right, watching the World Series by the way, there was a stat that said Gerrit Cole has never won a playoff game where he's given up more than two runs. He's 0-3 in any playoff start where he's given up more than two runs. Well, they've got five runs. By the way, he's still in. It's the seventh inning, and it's 5-2, Washington over Houston. gee, Jarvis, seven innings and he's given up five and he's still getting a pitch? Oh, I guess that's what managers do, huh, is let their starters go, you know? Because, again, Garrett Cole in the seventh inning of a game is still better than any option you have coming out of your bullpen. You know why? Because he strikes out everybody. Even after giving up five innings, he's still a better option than anybody else you can trot out there midway through the game. And by the way, that's the nice part about playing in an American League stadium is that you don't have to worry about that whole, you know, hitting for the pitcher thing and all that kind of nonsense. All right. Brian McCann is at the game, by the way. Did you see him and Evan Gattis are both at the game tonight? We were going to talk about this, about Brian McCann, about where he fits in both Braves history and in the MLB. I would tell you he's probably the best catcher in the history of the Atlanta Braves. I think that's a two-man race between him and Javi Lopez. But McCann with the six silver sluggers, I think it's seven all-star appearances. And obviously Javi had some big years. You know, he had that monster 43 homer year. He had three all-stars, had a silver slugger. But when you look, I think McCann, you make the case that Brian McCann is the best catcher in the history of the Atlanta Braves organization. Now, Joe Torre was here for a little bit. He only played 3 years in Atlanta. Did have the one big year, 36 homers and 100 RBIs. But Brian McCann spent, you know, the bulk of his career, both early and then here at the very end of his career with Atlanta, coming back. 12 homers and 45 RBIs last year. Now, first career, McCann hit a total of 282 homers, 1,018 RBIs, hit 262 with 742 runs. Now, I asked a question earlier about will he get a look at going in the Hall of Fame? Brian McCann among catchers all time. In RBIs, Brian McCann is 13th all time. The only guys that are not in the Hall of Fame, by the way, the guy right behind him is Early Lombardi, who's in the Hall of Fame. The only three guys ahead of him not in the Hall of Fame are Jorge Posada, Lance Parrish, and Victor Martinez. And we were kind of comparing him and Jorge Posada's numbers. McCann, for his career, 282 homers, 1,018 RBIs, 742 runs. Posada, 900 runs scored, 275 homers, 1,065 RBIs. Posada hit 273, McCann hit 262. Those guys are almost mirror images of each other. Posada had 2, 4, 5 All-Stars and 5 Silver Sluggers. McCann had 7 All-Stars and 6 Silver Sluggers. So, by and large, when you talk about their personal resume and their numbers, they're almost completely the same. I think where Posada has the advantages are, one is he played for the Yankees. Two is he won multiple World Series. He was there for the glory years. Three is he's looked at as part of that core of Yankee players who brought them back to prominence. It's Bernie Williams. It's Posada. It's Jeter. It was their core that they drafted and developed on their own. Not the big name free agents. Not you know, bringing in Paul O'Neill or Tino Martinez. But the homegrown talent of Posada, Pettit, Jeter, Bernie. You know, those guys that were kind of the resurrected core. I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. Whether he gets in the Hall of Fame, I don't know. So McCann is 13th all-time amongst catchers. McCann's also 8th all-time amongst catchers for home runs. The only guy that has more home runs as a catcher than Brian McCann that is not in the Hall of Fame is Lance Parrish. The guys ahead of him besides Lance Parrish, Pudge Rodriguez, Gary Carter, Yogi Berra, Carlton Fisk, Johnny Bench, Mike Piazza. There's only one guy not in the Hall of Fame that hit more home runs as a catcher than what Brian McCann did. Now, Brian McCann is no first ballot Hall of Famer, and I say not from, again, to me, a Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's getting in on the first ballot Hall of Fame. Even with 7 All-Stars, 6 Silver Sluggers, okay? I don't think that he's going to get in right away. He may be one of those guys that, like Jack Morris, finds his way in when all is said and done, maybe years down the road. But it's going to be a while before he gets a chance to get in and be a part of all of that. All right, wrapping things up. Time for the Love TKO. Then our guy Hot Take Tommy comes in next. Truck Ring the Kia Studios. Finish up the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I may be just a foolish dreamer.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.